Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This podcast is also a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. I created Better Leaders, Better Schools because I was fed up of not having deep conversations, vulnerable, authentic conversations about school leadership. And that's why you keep coming back week after week. You listen to this podcast as an investment in your own leadership development. If you would like to invest in the production of Better Leaders, Better Schools, I have really good news. It's extremely affordable. $1 or $2 a month will go very far and make a big impact. At $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every 60 days. To become a patron, it's easy. Just click the link in the show notes, become a patron. Thank you for investing in yourself and thank you for investing in this podcast. Thank you for listening every week. Let's get this show started.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
And he talks about spaces and classes and asks the teachers at the PD, you know, what's your dream classroom? What do you want the classroom to look like? Forget what's in there right now. What would you want your classroom to look like? And teachers are rarely asked that. You know, we do have budgetary constraints, but in my dream world, when there aren't any, that's what I'm going to ask my teachers. You know, it's not about what I want in their room. It's really about what they want and the kids. And what's going to be best for them. And when you walk into that classroom, is it comfortable or is it, you know, we got 28 hard seats and we sit there for an hour or so and move on.
Ladies and gents, may I introduce to you Jason Bodner.
Hello, everybody.
Jason, I am so excited to connect with you today. I've been a fan from afar, listening to Principally Speaking, your podcast. And I really appreciate how you dig into leadership and what's working in education with other school leaders. And it's a complete honor to have you on the show. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it.
So listen, you're a first year principal right now. And I know that there's some challenges that come along with it. And I just want to hear, how's it going? Tell us the story of your first year.
It's been interesting. I was an assistant principal for 2 years prior to this at a fairly urban school, about 2 hours north of where I'm at, kind of northeastern Indiana. And now I'm southeastern Indiana, kind of in the middle of nowhere, a cute little town called Cambridge City. We're about an hour east of Indianapolis. And it's an interesting town. We've got quite a high poverty rate. We have virtually no minorities in the school I'm at, which, take that or leave it, just a lot different than what I was used to. And quite a bit of a problem in the community with heroin, actually. Our county is one of the worst when it comes to overdoses on drugs. So that's a big issue. High poverty, high drug area. So there's some challenges there. It's a very small school where I'm at, about 560 kids total, and that's both middle and high. So it's extremely small. But I really like that because I can actually say kids' names and know who I'm talking to. So that's been really good for me. You know, coming in as a new principal is an intimidating thing. The principal before me was in the district for quite a while, you know, big part of the community, kind of an outsider coming in. So I know it's going to take some time to continue to build that trust and that culture at my school. It's been an interesting adventure. I will definitely say that. It's a lot different than being an assistant principal in the fact that I'm trying to balance many different things during the day. I want to have an open door and be able to answer questions, not like assistant principals don't. I'm sure that you do a great job of that yourself. But obviously, head principals is different. But I do really enjoy it. I'm really blessed to have this opportunity. Like I said, I was an assistant principal for just 2 years, so I didn't necessarily think this would happen. But it's been really cool. It's been neat because I'm a tech nerd, so I bring some of that to, yes, to the school. New podcast for our school. It's been a lot of fun. You know, I don't get embarrassed by a whole lot, so I DJ our school dances, try to have some fun in between all the seriousness, because obviously we get caught up in test scores and school grades and all that type of stuff. So I think that's important. I think especially for, you know, my middle school kids, too, to see that I'm a human being. I like to have fun, and we can have fun while learning. So I do my best with all of it. I'm definitely learning a lot. It has only been a semester. You know, I take winter break to kind of chill out, but also to reflect on how things have gone. And I'm definitely looking to improve and continue to hopefully, like I said, build that culture at my school and make it an exciting place to be.
Jason, a man of many talents, DJ Jason Bodner on the ones and twos. Right here, I'll insert crazy record scratching noises, and the listeners, I want you to go nuts. But
good stuff.
That's awesome. That's cool that you could. But you know what? I love that you do that because you can just connect with the students on a different level, with the staff, with the parents, whoever you know you have at your dance. I think that's a huge strength of yours. Let's talk about building trust, because you said you had some pretty big shoes to fill. The principal had been there a long time, big member of the community, and now you're the new guy, right?
Right.
So what are you doing to build trust in the school and with the community?
You know, a big thing for me that I take pride in, I guess, is just being open, you know, kind of like what I said earlier on here. I'm far from perfect. I'm not the most amazing principal that ever lived. I'm learning quite a bit as I go. And I really try to model that for my staff and for the community. I think it's important when I speak to my staff that I'm open about things, and they have the opportunity to tell me, you know, this could be better, this could be different, because otherwise I'm not doing a very good job. You know, I expect my staff to be able to talk to their students and hopefully take some constructive criticism sometimes and think about, you know, how can my class be better for the kids? Because it's just like anything else. If we stand still, we're not getting any better. And, you know, it doesn't matter really what your school grade is at the end of the day. You know, we really want to model that type of mentality. When I'm out in the community, you know, we've got a lot of athletic events just like any other school pretty much. And I just really try to be open to anybody. I know that people are going to come up to me left and right, and you know, I ask them, you know, how are things going? What can I do to help? And when parents come in for concerns or questions, or they call me on the phone, I just do my best to be very professional about all that. You know, I think that takes a little bit of time to be able to handle. It's not like I can handle any situation. Like I said, I still got a ways to go. But it's just really important that you keep your cool and understand that, you know, you're there for the kids. You're going to do the best thing that you can for the kids, and, you know, and for the adults that work for you. And it's easy to get fired up sometimes. It's easier to be defensive about, you know, your school, even though I've only been there half a year. I really feel like I'm a big part of the school. I really enjoy it, and I'm going to stand up for it and what we're doing at that school. But you also have to be professional about that. And not everybody that talks to you is going to always stay professional. I'm not saying my teachers, but you know, people get very passionate about education, and as well they should. And you know, when they're a member of the community for a long time, they've got opinions, and I respect those opinions. And I think that's just really important. You know, I have a presence. You know, I've really worked to get our school presence on Facebook, showcasing everything that's going on, Twitter, which hadn't been done in the past. But beyond that, too, that's something else that I'm working on, is trying to continue to reach out to parents in the community, help them understand that I can't be an island, or our school can't be an island, you know, and do a great job for them.
Hmm. Are those things that are new to the community, your use of social media and the podcast, are those catching on?
Yeah. You know, the podcast, we've only had 4 episodes so far, but it's been so much fun. It's about 10 minutes an episode. So it's really, you know, nothing that extensive, but I just pull in during lunch a group from the school. So the first episode was our tennis team. I pulled in our builders club, which is kind of like a service club for the community. Also talked to our basketball coach and somebody else, which I can't remember right now. But basically, like I said, I just try to pull people in, have an informal conversation, put it on our school website. And it's not like, you know, it's blowing up or anything, but we're going to get it on iTunes. And you've had about 500 listens so far, so that's been a lot of fun. And then the other thing, yeah, Facebook, Twitter, it has kind of slowly caught on. You know, I try to, it's tough when you come in as somebody new and you've got a new idea or something that you feel passionate about, and not trying to, you know, ram it down people's throats. You know, Twitter has done so much for me, you know, being able to connect with so many amazing educators out there and really helping build my show, but more so that I can just make it better, you know, and hopefully continue to grow as an educator. And so it's hard for me coming in as a new principal out of town not to say, everybody get on Twitter, Twitter's amazing, you know, and just and just annoy people to death with it. But try to model that. We had some PD, and we've had a good handful of teachers that have dove into that, and that's just been really cool. You know, you sit back and you think, okay, I mean, four or five teachers have really understood that this is pretty powerful. The kids jump in too. That's where it starts, you know, and it helps me learn patience. You know, I'm not going to have every single faculty member think that that's the bee's knees, and that's okay. But it's been really neat. And then there's a lot of people in the community that have jumped onto our Facebook page, and they really appreciate all of that too. So, but I still get, you know, a phone call every once in a while. Hey, you know, you haven't spotlighted this group or that group, or we'd like to hear more from this. So there's always room to improve on all that. There's just a lot of cool things going on. Like I said, we're a very small school, but we've got all the sports. We've got a lot of clubs. I want to do my best to get the message out there from all the different things and the kids.
Yeah, I very much respect that about you, just the heart behind promoting your kids and what they're doing. Again, I'm on the podcast and through social media just to tell their story and show the positive things that you guys are accomplishing at your school. So kudos to you, Jason, for doing that.
Thanks very much.
Again, we mentioned a new principal, so I'm curious, like, walking into the building, what kind of leadership style did you want to have, and has it changed? So how are you evolving as a leadership? What is your style like?
I think, you know, one thing that I wanted to model that I just feel like can't be overstated is visible leadership. Consistently stepping out of that office and being available to the staff, to the students, being able to, you know, one thing that I kind of struggle with, I'll be honest, is when somebody, let's say I'm walking down the hall and somebody has a concern, you know, I try to be a helpful guy. I'm a pretty friendly guy, I think. And I try to answer questions sometimes a little too fast. You know, you want to just be able to solve people's problems. You want them to be happy and go on about their day. And sometimes that's bit me in the butt a little bit because you don't always know everything going into it. I don't know everything. Like I said, I'm a new principal at this school, so things have been done a certain way in the past. And sometimes you just got to be able to take it back and say, I'll get back to you on that. And so it's kind of comical, but not, you know, one of my big goals and one thing that I've really learned about is how to continually manage everything that you've got to do. And especially, you know, I'm walking down the hall and somebody says, hey, can you check into yada, yada, yada? Well, I had a habit of emailing myself. Well, of course, over time, emails just pile up from myself and from other people. And been working on being able to, you know, prioritize, not email myself so much as send myself a reminder. I used Evernote for a while. But my assistant superintendent, who's really awesome, helped me kind of use that reminders app. And I also finally dove into, you're probably familiar with Justin Bader and the Instructional Leadership Challenge.
Yeah, I'm going through that right now to tell you the truth.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of his big to-dos is inbox zero. So that's a really important goal for me. My assistant superintendent has like no more than 5 emails at a time. And then we only have one other principal in the district, elementary principal, and she's on the same page. So she'll clear out. She'll have like next to no email. So I've learned a lot from her. This is her, I think, 11th year as a principal about how to do that kind of stuff because it is. It's just different. When you're assistant principal, yeah, you get emails. Yeah, you have things to do, but it's just not quite the same, you know, and you just got a lot of different people coming at you. And it's easy to kind of get flooded with everything that's going on, not because you're doing a bad job, but just helping to organize all that type of stuff. So that's not really necessarily my leadership style so much as just kind of learning on the go how to be a more effective leader. But, you know, I just think my style is one that's an open style, you know, again, trying to be very transparent with people. But what I am learning is, you know, I don't always know all the answers and you're definitely not going to make everybody happy. So that's important to keep in mind.
Absolutely. We want to give a shout out to Justin Bader. He was episode 7, if you want to listen to my interview with Justin. And he does have the 21-day instructional challenge, which I love. That was linked up in the show notes of episode 20. So if you want that, listeners, go over there. You can get to that resource. And I like what Jason's saying about Inbox Zero. If you check out a resource called SaneBox, and that is a paid-for service, I don't currently use it, but they have a free Inbox Zero course that I took 10 days and probably 3 minutes of my time a day. That was definitely very valuable in terms of thinking how to clear out your inbox because that can add a lot of stress to your life. And it's great to have superintendents and other principals on the same page with that. So Jason, do you find that hard to do in terms of clearing out your inbox, or, you know?
No, it's just, you know, it's just something else that I'm learning. Like I said, it's just like anything else. You get in kind of a habit, and my assistant superintendent's great. And he's like, how's that inbox? You know, it looks like you got still a lot in there. What's going on? And so he keeps me accountable, but not in an annoying way, you know, and just been very helpful with that kind of thing. I think, and his name's George Philhauer, and he's active on Twitter too. You can find him at G Philhauer with a PHIL, and awesome guy. It was one of the big reasons I decided to take this job, because I knew what he was all about, and we just clicked very well. So he's been very understanding. You know, he knows it's my first year as a principal, and that's huge. You know, I always knew that if I landed a head principal job, just like any other job that's new and can be challenging, you just really need that support, and you can't overstate that. And I just really appreciate that. You know, being in a small district, I can basically text him anytime, and wow, he'll help me out. And that's, you just can't overstate that. You know, one of the districts I was in was extremely big, and I just knew that that's tough. That didn't mean that I didn't have help kind of locally, but it's just a completely different feel. You know, I always thought that I wanted to be in a really big school. You know, there's advantages that come with that, and it doesn't mean I won't ever be in one, but there's a lot of advantages to where I'm at now, and it's been really good for my growth personally, for sure.
Yeah, what I want to pull out for the listeners there, I just really appreciate the fact that you've identified people that are safe and supportive for you. And you mentioned, too, how Twitter's really grown a following for your show, but also increased your professional learning network. And the same thing has happened with me. Want to give a shout-out to my tribe, LeadUp Chat. They have an awesome website, leadupnow.com. But these guys, we're on a Twitter chat every Saturday, 8:30 in the morning, and they're just the best school leaders I've met. They're awesome, and they're in a Voxer group, and we talk all the time about really great educational issues, and I am so blessed to have known these people. Jason, I want to dig into this relationship you have with your assistant superintendent and what brought you there. You know, can you tell us, since we're school leaders, some of us may be currently principals, maybe we're superintendents, but maybe a lot are like me. I'm an assistant principal right now. I started this show because I want to be a principal. I want to know what it takes. So can you talk a little bit about that process of what interviewing for the principalship was like? And then can you tell me a little bit more about that assistant superintendent? You said there was a lot about him that drew you to the school. So tell me a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, definitely. The number one thing I would say when it comes to trying to land that principal position, you know, and trying to make sure it's the right one for you. And I'm kind of going to be preaching to the choir here, because you're already helping yourself stand out. It's really, how can you stand out? What do you have to offer that's different than the next person? And I'm not going to lie, getting myself out there, having a podcast, showing my willingness to grow was very big for me. What I tell people, and I told even high school seniors at my school that are part of business professionals group, and they have to do mock interviews and stuff. I tell them, I said, the days of a paper resume, you know, basically being it are over. And if somebody wants to be my assistant principal at some point, and that's all they have to offer, I go on Twitter, they don't exist. You know, they don't have their own philosophies that really stand out at all. Or then I want to ask myself, what do they have to contribute? You know, what do you have to help me grow, even in a selfish way, but to help the school grow? That's just number one. That's so huge. And I think that's something that definitely helped me out. I just, you know, I really worked for a while at figuring out what can make me look a little bit different. I mean, like I said, I'm in a school kind of in between two cities, so just kind of stuck in the middle of nowhere. Wouldn't have known me from anybody if I hadn't put myself out there. And ironically enough, you may be familiar with a gentleman named Matt Miller, yeah, author of Ditch That Textbook, just an amazing guy, also from Indiana. And I had him on my podcast, and he said, you need to talk to this guy, George Philhauer. He's an assistant superintendent. I found out where George was on the Twitterverse there, bothered him politely, I like to say. We started talking, and he basically said, we've got a principal position. I'd be interested in having you interview. I don't know if that's the best fit, but I think you might be a good fit for what we're looking for. And that's not, you know, really necessarily the only reason I got the position. But once I found out more about what they were doing at this school, which without rambling on about it forever, we have a personalized learning academy. It's been modeled after a school out in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it's a little bit different from the norm. Portion of our students during the day, they don't move when the bells ring. They kind of move when they need to. They work at their own pace. They can earn credit ahead of time. There's some really neat components to this. The teachers are more of kind of a mentor role within that program. And when I found out about that happening, like I said, in a small district in Indiana, that's the kind of place I want to be, a forward-thinking place. So that was big. That was big for me. I knew for myself, being a new principal, I needed that support. I wasn't going to be able to walk in, know what to do. I don't know who would every step of the way. That's been really awesome. So I would encourage, you know, as assistant principal, continue to do what you're doing. And, you know, obviously your audience, that doesn't mean you have to start a podcast. That doesn't mean you have to have a website. But I will say that, you know, listening to podcasts even and reading books and being willing to continue to grow and talk about how you want to grow as a leader and how you want to inspire others to continue to do so yourself is a huge deal. You know, you're probably just as techie as I am, if not more. That's okay that if people aren't that way. But I also think it's not really okay if you stay still. And there's so many ways, including listening to podcasts since they're free, that you can continue to grow on virtually a daily basis. And to be honest with you, I kind of lost that fire a little bit here at the beginning of the school year because I was worried about being a good principal, and it takes a lot of time. And it's cool that you mentioned, you know, Lead Up Chat. I had joined Lead Up Chat, and I haven't been on there in forever. I haven't been on Voxer in forever.
I wasn't going to tell on you. I was going to let you do that yourself.
I wasn't. I hadn't released a podcast in forever. I kind of went in on hibernation here. So it's cool. I'm fired up again to continue to do that.
Awesome.
You know, that's, you kind of go through cycles sometimes, I guess.
Sure.
But I would just encourage your audience to continue to reach out, read books. There's so many good books out there. Listen to free podcasts. I happen to have a 2-minute drive to work now. I used to have about 35-minute drive. So every day it's a good hour of trying to learn from people that have been there before me. And it just doesn't get much better than that. We're in a really awesome time where there's so many resources out there. You can talk about, you know, YouTube videos, but TED videos, iTunes U. There's so many free things out there on top of all the websites that it's a real waste to just go through your day and think, well, hopefully I did a good job and hopefully I'm going to keep doing a good job.
Yeah, well, not only is it a complete waste if you're not taking advantage of that, but honestly, listeners, you're doing this, and that's why you listen to Better Leaders, Better Schools, and Principally Speaking, and the Principal Center Radio with Justin. But if you're not growing, you're obsolete. Like Jason said, the paper resume is dead. It's gone. It's not coming back. We'll still have it, but how are you growing? And you gotta take advantage of these free resources. I created this podcast because I was sick of bumping my head against the wall trying to get people together to talk leadership in education. And I know, you know, we're busy, we have families and that sort of thing, but even just saying, hey, once a month, Saturday is my house or whatever, and it wasn't happening. So that's how Better Leaders, Better Schools got birthed, and I just wanted to connect with amazing people, learn from them so that, you know, in some respects, a selfish way that I could personally grow, but then offer that to the audience so that they can grow as well. So I'm glad that we're in this work, and just encourage the listeners, you know, to find with what sticks and just try to connect with a lot of people out there. So Twitter, check out Lead Up Chat, 8:30 a.m. Saturdays. Jason and I will be there. Jason's fired up, so he's going to be there, and you can connect with us there for sure.
I'm going to try. That's usually when I spend a lot of time with my daughter.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I will say, too, you know, and don't forget, I'm sure the audience is pretty familiar with, but another big to-do is that EdCamp movement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, conferences have historically cost hundreds of dollars. EdCamps are free. Go connect. Go find other people. I'm really excited this summer. Go figure, right? George and I are going to be helping lead up EdCamp leadership, it looks like, nice. Down in the Indianapolis area. So I helped lead EdCamp Fort Wayne last year. But the gentleman that I had on my podcast last, Dr. Gupta, led one in Columbus, EdCamp Leadership. And so I'm really excited to be doing that. That'll be July 11th. So that's easy to remember, 7-11. But of course, I'm sure a lot of your audience is in my area. But there's going to be a lot of other EdCamp leaderships during that time, if not that day, which happens to be a Monday. So would definitely encourage your audience to check those out wherever they may be.
And check out Neil with Jason on episode 50, I believe that was, with Principally Speaking.
Yep, thank you.
Absolutely. One thing, you know, we're going to go, well, no, we won't go off script yet. I want to dig into this new Personalized Learning Academy. So that's something you said you'd like to dig into. You briefly mentioned it, but can you go into a little bit more detail? You said it's modeled from some school in Utah, so what school is that? And can you give, you gave us a skeleton, put a little meat on the bones of what this program's like.
Sure. The school out in Utah, which I had the privilege of visiting not terribly long ago, well, obviously I haven't been at my school very long, is called Innovations High School. And like I said, it's in Salt Lake City, which is kind of an interesting area. We got all sorts of cultures and different things going on. It's a really cool area. Well, there's a couple of different things. First off, the school is connected to a college.
Whoa.
And so the students, if they happen to move at a quicker pace, have all sorts of options when it comes to taking college classes, which is really cool. Is my school connected to a college? No, but it's really neat to see that. They've got some other things that are interesting. Like I said, in our school, which is kind of a school within a school, the students between second and fifth period complete courses that they need to complete. So, for example, freshmen come in. Obviously, a lot of them need, for example, Algebra 1, Biology, English 9, for example. So they work, like I said, at their own pace to an extent. You know, you have to kind of, how do I frame this? You know, they can't just do whatever they want, so to speak, as far as, well, I'm never going to get this done, because just like anything else, they won't earn the credits that they need. But their mentors work with them to figure out what's the best way for them to get through that material. And they're welcome to kind of float from one room to another to go get help from different teachers at different times. The teachers still have what we call class sessions, which is just basically like a regular quote unquote class. But if I'm an English teacher teaching Romeo and Juliet, maybe I only need 20 minutes to go over a certain component of that. So they schedule those out. And so everybody that's in that current class at the time will come to that session. And then when the 20 minutes is up, they go where they need to go to do whatever's next. So maybe one day they have a few class sessions, the next day they don't have any, the next day they have two. It just kind of depends. But there's some neat components to that. Like I said, you know, that pace component allows some of our students that are high flyers to earn credit ahead of time. And in fact, the school out in Utah, Innovations High School, they recently had a student who earned an associate's degree by the time they were done with high school. So 2 years in, basically cranked out everything they needed to crank out, and in the meantime, earned themselves a college degree when we would think of just getting a diploma.
It's incredible. Wow.
Yeah. So really, really inspiring stuff. Always trying to look to think about, you know, what can we continue to do for our kids that are striving high? Even though we're a small community, how can we give these kids different opportunities to pursue their passions and continue to push the envelope, so to speak? So it's exciting. It's been interesting because this is the first year of the program and I'm the new principal, and it wasn't necessarily my baby, but I really believe in it. So continue to work through that type of thing, if that makes sense. But yeah, like I said, Innovations High School out in Salt Lake City, there's a gentleman, Ken Grover, who's the principal of that school, a really awesome guy. He's coming out to our school here within a couple weeks to revisit us. So he's kind of seen where we're at, and just really cool stuff. It's the kind of thing, you know, brand new program, brand new principal, traditional community, where, you know, it takes time to build that buy-in and continue to work and make it as good as possibly can be. But I am very proud of both our teachers and the kids through that program. You know, and there's been some really awesome things. You know, what we, I'm not going to, like I said, go, and I tend to talk. That's probably why I have a podcast. But, you know, one thing that's really stands out to me is we had a student who, I'll just be blunt, basically slacked at the beginning of this program because it's less structured than normal school, whatever normal is. And it finally clicked. And I won't really ever forget, this is a female student who had she basically said, I'm finally in charge of my learning. You know, I'm finally taking ownership of my own learning. And we're talking about, like I said, freshmen in high school who normally go through 7-8 periods a day, are told when everything's due, the bell rings, they get up and move. And now they have an opportunity to do things, you know, on their own to an extent. but it hopefully is setting the tone for some of these students. You know, when they leave, they go to college. I mean, that's what college is. You know, if you want to go to class, you go to class. If you want to do your work, you do your work. And this is just kind of a middle ground for those students. And it's really been cool. And that mentor piece is really different. You know, usually teachers teach kids and they try to do their best to build relationships with kids. But this is a lot different when we have time for those one-on-one conversations. Where are you? Where are you at? Where are you going to go? And how can I help you get there? That's different than normal in school just because we're so used to trying to fill up the time with all of our content. So hopefully that gives a little bit more meat to it. And like I said, I don't want to take up another, you know, hour on your show there. So,
and let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a school leader that wants to get better every single day, and that's why I created a free gift for you called The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential. You can grab it today for free by texting the word UNLOCK NOW to 33444. That's UNLOCK NOW to 33444, and The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential will be delivered straight to your inbox. And now back to our show. I would do a three-hour interview if you were down for that. But the thing is because, you know, some people, they want it just for the commute, which would be hard for you. It's 2 minutes. So that would just be the 2-minute tip of the day. But honestly, like, I just love talking to people. So it really is up to the guest. You know, I listen to Tim Ferriss' podcast, and his can go actually a couple hours. But the thing is, if you're providing value, and if I feel like the guest is really just, oh, they're on fire and giving a bunch of great insights, I don't try to say this is just going to be 30 minutes because we're already at the 30-minute mark. But right. People have learned so much from you. So thank you, Jason, for your time. And for your insights. So I just think it's great. And I love that quote. I'm finally in charge of my learning. So I'm a wordsmith that I want to probably make that part of your title for this podcast. But that awakening moment for that student, that's why we do what we do. And it,
right.
I mean, wow, this kid is totally disengaged. You've done some innovative things. And now this kid is, who knows what's going to happen with her. But good job to you for just creating an environment where that could happen, the magic could happen.
I was just going to say thank you. Like I said, I've just been pretty lucky. You know, this wasn't really, you know, my idea so much as something that I felt like I could run with. And I've been very blessed with that.
But here's the thing that I think great leaders do. You know, they want to cast a vision and inspire people to do something better for kids. But it's wise when the leader has his eyes open and her ears open, right, to see where the school wants to go. And in this case, you didn't, you know, kick down the doors and say, here's where we're going. There was an idea already percolating, and you said, I can implement that. You know, I could get behind that. And it's taking yourself out of the equation and allowing the magic to happen. So it takes a strong leader to be able to do that, in my opinion.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. We're going to link up. I'm going to find out this Innovations High School in Utah. We'll link that in the show notes, as well as Jason's school, so people can reach out and learn more about the new Personalized Learning Academy if they want to do that. So, Jason, you know, I really appreciate, I emailed you and you said that you'd be willing to take on this topic. Again, listeners, I tell you, check out his interview, episode 50 with Dr. Neil Gupta. He's in a lead up now as well, but just an awesome guy. You know, has a central office position in Ohio, but has a ton of value that he brings to that podcast. But Jason mentioned that, you know, his consistency of release of the podcast has kind of dwindled and he had been battling with some depression. And I said, hey, can we chat about that a little bit? Because I know there's other leaders that are going through the same thing. And I'm a very big proponent of emotional well-being and emotional health. So can you just unpack a little bit what you were going through with that depression and how you climbed out of it?
Yeah, no problem at all. A couple of different things with that. You know, one thing was, like I said, this is my new principal position. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, one of the reasons I've slightly abandoned the lead up chat crew, not permanently, just because they are so awesome, is unfortunately this past summer I went through a divorce, and not something that I planned. to be honest with you, it's my second one and don't really believe in that anymore. It was very difficult because I knew I was taking on a new position and thought things would go a lot differently than they did. And that was really tough. I had a tough summer. And that was the time, you know, I'd actually talked to Dr. Gupta quite back in July and was really struggling. Didn't even want to take the time to edit the episode, release it, anything like that. And kind of in between there is when I was lucky enough to connect with Joe Mazza. And if you're familiar with him, he's out of Penn State, awesome guy that does the Backchannel EDU podcast, but also it has been open about his battles with depression. And that's probably easily my favorite episode that I've ever done. I think it was episode 47. I'm looking at my own website, which is sad. But yeah, that was episode 47 with Joe. Easily the most real episode I've ever done. I'd be happy, you know, obviously, please check that out. If you're suffering from depression, though, if you've had any issues with that, please feel free to contact me. I really feel like, you know, we all have a purpose for being here, and I do my best to help others. And, you know, it had been a struggle. I do have almost a two-year-old daughter. And it's tough because she's a couple hours north of where I'm at. So I get to see her almost every weekend, but that's hard. But there's been some very supportive people, including my staff at school, have been very awesome. And like I said, I'm a pretty open guy, so I didn't hide what was going on. And they've been very supportive through that process to help me, you know, pray for me and just be that human because, you know, yeah, I'm the principal, but you know, you go through stuff and it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be depressed, but that's just really important. I knew I was in the right place when my staff stepped up and, you know, other people told me things that they had gone through in the past. Some of them, of course, gone through divorces and things like that. Just very, very kind community. And I'm just very blessed that way. Am I thrilled I'm divorced and have to travel to see my daughter? No, but I know that people care for me and that's just been really, really cool. And so, you know, it's not always easy, but what I would say is if you're a principal, assistant principal, whatever your position is, superintendent, assistant superintendent, we all have tough times. You know, be open, reach out to people, you know, take their help, and it'll help you get through it. It just takes time. You know, it's just taken some time for me, and that's why I'm getting a little bit more fired up about, you know, some of the things I've done in the past. You know, depression can be tough. It can be, it can drag you down and you can get stuck, but it does get better. And it's definitely getting better for me. And I'm really excited about the future. So I'm very happy to share that with anybody and would love to talk to anybody who else is going through some of that. I've connected with some other educators who have had to travel very far for work, problems with their family. And that's huge. And again, there's that power connection. A lot of the ways it's very powerful to find out more about curriculum and assessment and, you know, differentiation, but it's also really important to know people are out there and they care. And so I'm very grateful for all those people that have helped me throughout this process.
Well, Jason, thank you for sharing. I'm sorry that you're going through that difficult time, and I'll definitely add you to my prayer list and just say I'm there for you if there's anything I can do personally. Want to pause here and get in my listeners' faces and ears for a second because, guys, tough stuff happens, but Jason did something that a lot of leaders don't do. He accepted help. So help is out there. And when people are saying, hey, I want to do something for you, think about what that might, maybe it's helping cook a meal, or maybe it's just a call or hanging out, going to a movie, but you got to be open for help. And everybody needs that. Another thing too is don't be fake, be authentic, be yourself. There's a fine line between oversharing, right? You don't have to share all the details of tough things you're going through, but just to open up a bit and let people know what's going on. Be vulnerable. And you saw how Jason's staff responded. They opened up about tough things they're going through. And what it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, but it's brought you guys a little bit together. And it sounds like they're helping you, our main reason that you're getting through this tough time.
Definitely. Definitely true. And, it's just really cool. And, you know, I've even, you know, like you said, I don't go overboard, tell everybody everything. Everybody doesn't necessarily need to know your entire life story. But I think there is something to be said for putting yourself out there, you know, standing up in front of your faculty and saying, look, I'm not going to go around. Do I go around school with a smile on my face? Yeah. Now, am I being fake? No. You know, I, like I said, I have climbed out of a lot of it. I am, I think, genuinely happy. But at the same time, that authentic piece is huge. And I think when you're willing to stand up in front of people and say, look, this is what's going on. This is what, you know, this is what I'm battling. I want you guys to know that. And, you know, I trust you enough with that information that, you know, I think it's going to turn out for the better by sharing that, not for the worse. And that's been really awesome.
And it's scary, guys, to put yourself out there like that. And I think our biggest fear is that people are going to reject us and not respond in the way that we want them to. And some people probably will, if we're honest. But the majority of people, they're normal human beings. They've got hearts, and they want to connect and help you out. So be vulnerable, be authentic. And Jason, again, just thank you so much for sharing that story. And sorry to hear you going through that hard time.
No problem. I appreciate that. And one other thing I did forget, this is a little more lighthearted, but not exactly funny. We talked earlier about, of course, at Innovations, early college, high school, and I did speak with Ken Grover on my podcast. So that's episode 46. So if you feel like checking out my podcast, 46, 47 with Joe Mazza. And of course, the last one was 50 with Dr. Gupta, but love connecting with people. So.
That's awesome. They'll all be linked up in the show notes. So I'm going to link up your website, but individually those episodes as well, so people can get right to them depending on what they want to listen to.
Awesome. Thank you.
We'll keep it lighthearted then. So listen to this. I don't know what inspires you and the questions you ask your guests. And, you know, most of them I have either adapted from other podcasts or just created myself. But today's question that I'm about to ask you, this is a whopper. It comes from Wrigley. That makes gum, and they don't pay me for this, but listen, the spearmint number 5 rain is my favorite flavor, so check that out from Wrigley gum. But on their gum, you know, I was connected with some students and they always want my gum, so I gave them some, and they asked me a question that was awesome, and I said, how'd you think of it? It was on the gum wrapper. I'm bringing that question to the Better Leaders, Better Schools audience right now. First time ever, Jason Bodner. They're making a movie about your life. Who do you choose as an actor to play Jason?
Oh, man, you didn't prep me for this one.
No,
man.
But I just learned about it hours ago.
Who's in my – oh, my goodness.
I picked Brad Pitt, so you can't pick him. Leonardo DiCaprio is my number 2.
Okay. I don't – well, see, I'm 6'5", awkward dude. I don't know who looks like me. Oh man. Jeez. You know, I'm a Guy Pearce fan. You know Guy Pearce?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to pretend I look like him, so we'll go with him. Why he's playing me, I don't know. What's the name of the movie? I don't know. Tall former band geek becomes principal or something, I'm not sure.
Nice.
DJ Bodner on the mic. On the mic.
I love that you made the question even better because we added a title. I'm going to steal that. That is so good.
Just don't put my picture on your website because people will be like, yeah, that ain't Guy Pearce like ever. So,
okay.
I'm teasing, but.
No problem. He was in Memento, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So that was a freaky movie. Did you see LA Confidential? That's one of my favorite roles that he's in.
No, I never saw that one. I do like those kind of movies, though. I'm a big Christopher Nolan fan. Inception.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
What's the other one? It's going to kill me. Well, Memento was a good one, but if you'd like to check out those weird kind of movies, another one is Following. Yeah. That was one of his first
He did
movies.
That space movie that was just out.
That's right. Matthew McConaughey, something right. Or other. Everybody knows what we're talking about.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Go to IMDb and look up something or other.
Right.
You'll go right to it. Yeah. Okay, that was good. So, hey, do you have about 5 more minutes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's go to this question then. You talked about books, and we talked about, you know, listening to podcasts and videos and that sort of thing. But what's one book every principal should read right now and why?
You know, people say, I don't have time to read, you know, I've got too much going on. I would pick a short book, and this is another gentleman that I was lucky enough to talk to on my show. I would highly recommend you check him out. His name's Baruti Kafele.
Yeah, I listened. That's how I found you, Jason.
Oh, okay. Well, Isn't that weird? And his book is called The Principle 50. The latest book that he came out with, Critical Leadership Questions for Inspiring School-Wide Excellence. And it's a type of book that you can crank out in a day or a day and a half. So, you know, in the audience might be thinking, well, what's the point? you know, what I really like about Mr. Cafele is he's just such a reflective guy. And you know, he starts off the book with, you know, why do I lead? Basically, what are we doing? What is our goal? What are we doing? Why do we do what we do? And, you know, another activity that he always talked about, which seems kind of corny, but I know that I should take on, is he talked to, you know, as he's grown as a leader over quite a bit of time and even exited schools but still has such a big impact, is standing in that mirror and asking yourself, you know, what do I do? Why do I do what I do? And, you know, what is the evidence that I have to support what I'm saying? You know, and if I say, you know, I'm in this for kids, well, that's great. You know, everybody likes to say that. What evidence do I have to back that up? And that really challenges you, you know, that challenges yourself to be reflective and to continue to push yourself forward. Because if you don't have any evidence, then it doesn't really mean a whole lot. And he is just an amazing guy. I was lucky enough to see him speak. I think it was either last year or the year before. Politely bothered him endlessly to be on my podcast. The type of guy I could talk to for hours on end. Just very inspirational. And I would definitely encourage the audience to check out that book. Whether you're a principal or planning on being a principal or an assistant principal, whatever the case may be, even just consider yourself a leader. Really, really good stuff.
That'll be in the show notes for the listeners as well, the Principal 50. So that's great. We'll have that there. Jason, what do you do for fun?
Other than pretending I'm a professional DJ, I do love music to death. So I love to play the piano. Hmm. At this last dance, I even busted out some piano, and kids didn't throw anything at me, so that was good. But I love doing that. So I love figuring out songs on the piano and jamming out. I love going to concerts. I had kind of a concert addiction problem that I'm still getting over. You're probably familiar with Ben Folds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I think I've seen him 14 times. So I had a bit of a problem with that back in the day. In fact, it was kind of funny. When I first got hired on as a teacher, the principal that I was working for was a big Ben Folds fan. And he knew that I took my three personal days in a row to go see Ben Folds 3 times. So I'm not sure if I'm proud of that or what my problem is, but that was a good first year. I knew I was in the right place when the principal's like, hey, you know, how are the shows? So I love concerts. I love music to death. Also, another pointless fact about me, I was in the 2006 World Series of Poker. So
what?
I lasted a whopping 5 hours in the World Series of Poker back when you could play online for money, and it didn't obviously win, but it was a good old time. So I love playing poker. I like chess, nerdy guys, so tech stuff, Apple stuff, GarageBand, all that happy fun stuff. So
let's stick with the tech stuff. Is there a tech resource you use to help you be more effective at work?
Like I said earlier in the show, I mean, nothing that fancy right now, just trying to use reminders. I was all about iPad as far as using that as a tool, but I found more that just my MacBook has been a lot more helpful that way. And so I don't really have a whole lot of spicy tools that I've been using lately. Just getting myself organized has been number one on that. But I don't have a million different apps that I use. You know, what I will say is, other than podcast app and continuing to grow with that, there's other good resources out there. Like we were talking about with Justin Bader before. He's got a great app, the Principal Center. There's just so many awesome things out there to continue to learn from. But as far as on the fly, nothing that fancy that your audience probably hasn't encountered before. So sorry that I'm not much help there.
It's okay. We forgive you. Well, let's just go with the end of the question. We're almost at an hour, so I really appreciate everything that you brought. But okay, buckle your seatbelt. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you create the school if you were given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would be your top three priorities building the school?
I think, you know, the number one priority building a school is, what do students want? You know, yeah, you have to cover content. You have to cover curriculum. What do students want first? Beyond that, what do teachers want? It's really easy for me to think about what I would want to put in a school, a dream school that has no budgetary limits or even space limits. You know, I think about some of my passions. I was a science teacher, you know, amazing 3D planetarium type stuff, makerspace heaven. Right. For me, I want to have a school with recording studio. I want to have video production, all the bells and whistles. that don't cover state tests, but get kids fired up to be in school. And, you know, my school would have glass walls so you can see what's going on in these awesome different spaces. Hmm. You know, so a priority is that openness and being, again, that showcase piece. You know, school shouldn't be some kind of prison where we don't know what's going on inside and you have to kind of come visit to see. You know, I want to show off everything that's going on. So without going on about all the different amazing tech things that you can have, you know, it's going to continue to grow, all the different options that we have in schools. Obviously, like I said, I'm an Apple guy, so I'd love to have some giant iMacs and all those types of things. But all of those toys and things come with great opportunities for kids. You know, I've been to some different schools and some bigger schools that have those different types of things. And you just see the kids so excited to be there. So anything that I can build or bring to that school to get kids excited to be there is what I'm going to do. So like I said, I want to know what students want. What do they want their classrooms to look like? We get caught still. Actually, Tom Murray is a friend of mine, and he was on my podcast, just an amazing guy. And I was lucky enough that he came out to our district just recently for some PD. And he talks about spaces and classes and asked the teachers at the PD, you know, what's your dream classroom? What do you want the classroom to look like? Forget what's in there right now. What would you want your classroom to look like? And teachers are rarely asked that. You know, we do have budgetary constraints, but in my dream world, when there aren't any, that's what I'm going to ask my teachers. You know, it's not about what I want in their room. It's really about what they want and the kids. And what's going to be best for them. And when you walk into that classroom, is it comfortable or is it, you know, we got 28 hard seats and we sit there for an hour or so and move on. And so that's big for me. I think talking about classroom spaces is just so huge nowadays. And you see the pictures, you know, Tom even shows us in his presentation, 1915 to 2015, all the classrooms that look the same. You know, how can we have classrooms that look the same for 100 years?
Yeah, it kills me. Yeah.
And we want our students to have a great opportunity in school. So you can't have a boring space. You know, if I was going to build a school, I'm pretty confident to say that people would walk through at least some different parts of it and say, this is still a school, you know, and you got to be able to stretch yourself from what school has looked like in the past. You got to have open spaces where kids can collaborate and learn. It can't just be a series of rooms with halls that are plain and you just go from one room to the next and they all look the same. Obviously, we've got science labs and things like that look different than the other classrooms. But yeah, the sky's the limit. I could go on about that. Like, your podcast could be 12 hours long. But I would really try to start with, I know what I would want to an extent, but that's not the key. You know, if I leave a school that I build as my dream school, is the next person going to, are all the teachers going to still appreciate everything that's there? You know, you got to think about that legacy that you leave behind.
Jason, let's do this. We're 1 hour into a 12-hour epic podcast. We'll be done at 6 in the morning. No, but in all seriousness, Jason, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I guess my parting words of advice are just kind of keep in mind the big picture. You know, there's more to life than even just school. And I know that might be blasphemy to say on an educational podcast, but you know, don't get too caught up in what you do. Take time for your family. Take time for everything that's really important. And I'd be more than happy to say, like I said, connect with anybody. I'm at Twitter at Principal Bodnar. That's Bodnar. Also, again, the website, of course, is principallyspeaking.com. Would love to connect with anybody new. Just very excited to have that opportunity. And like I said, it's, you know, the only other bit of advice is don't stop. You know, once you get that fire, start connecting with people, it's just gets better and better from there, and you can't lose. So take advantage. There's so many awesome educators out there, like the people I mentioned, like Tom Murray, who are busy doing some amazing things, and they still take the time to connect with an average Joe like me, and it's just really inspirational.
Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Jason. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Jason in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. If you have an iPhone, tap on the cover art, and the show notes page will magically appear. Jason, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
And thank you very much, Daniel. You're doing an awesome job with this podcast. You're challenging me to make mine better, man. You're doing some really good stuff. Keep it up.
Appreciate that. Hey, Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.